You're still here.
They're after us. They know we're still in here.
They're after the place. They don't know why. They just remember. Remember that they want to be in here.
What the hell are they?
They're us, that's all. There's no more room in hell.
What?
Something my granddaddy used to tell us. You know Mukumbo? Voodoo. Granddad was a priest in Trinidad. He used to tell us, when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Welcome to the Three Film Egos. I'm your hirsute host, Isaac Jensen, and with me as always is Utah's whitest black child, Clayton Godby.
Yeah, I'm going to use the restroom. I'll be right back.
And our resident vegan dreadlocked Portlandier, Ryan Cragen.
They're coming to get you.
This is a film discussion podcast where we each pick a film based on a predetermined theme or topic and then talk about anything but. There will be tangents. There will not be spoiler alerts. Consider yourselves warned. On this episode, Romero-thon, Part 1.
Cool. So where do we get started in this conversation?
Maybe Isaac should introduce the whole episode.
Jump in.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Romero-thon. How was that? Is that okay? Intro.
Yeah. It's real spooky.
Yeah.
Sounds good. We're in.
It always feels kind of weird to talk to a perceived audience as opposed to talking to you guys.
I don't talk to the audience. I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'd be weird for me to say, like, well, here's what we're doing. We're going through all six George A. Romero zombie movies.
Which we've already done. Yeah, introductions are weird. So let's not do that.
Let's talk in more rock.
Well, of course, we're starting with Night of the Living Dead. That's where we started it, where the whole saga starts. 1968. It's in black and white. Starts with a shot on a road, and a car comes up, and you see it's this brother and sister coming up on a graveyard, and they're dropping flowers on their father's grave because their mother wants them to do that. And the older brother starts to kind of try and scare the sister, saying things like, "They're coming to get you, Barbara."
Yeah.
And it's probably like 5 minutes in when the first attack happens. And I noticed while watching the rest of them that every single one of these films, the zombies started almost immediately. Like, you have very little time before the first zombie is on screen. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is where it starts. It just gets right into it.
Are you saying that's a contrast from Night of the Living Dead to the rest of the series?
No. I said it's a similarity.
I think it happens in every episode. If you take note, this one was shot in 68, and in 68, no one was making black and white movies anymore.
Right.
So, but this one was black and white, and I think it's obvious that the theme of this movie is going to be racial, right? It's a whole lot of black versus white, kind of in the lead two characters in this. Essentially, what you end up is with a bunch of people running into a farmhouse. You have a bunch of scattered survivors running from zombies in a farmhouse, and you sort of have two leads. You have one guy that kind of controls everybody. I believe that's Ben, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember. We're going to have to...
Yeah, Ben. It's Ben, yeah.
Is it Ben? You have Ben, and then you have the other guy. I can't remember. It was the first movie. I can't remember the character names. And essentially, a lot of the struggle between the two, it seems kind of racially contrived. It seems kind of like one of them has kind of an inferiority complex when taking orders from a black man. And then you have the white girls that just don't do a damn thing in this movie at all, except be the damsel
the
and just,
entire time.
Yeah, we're just going to be hysterical the whole time and not be able to do anything, and it's really, really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I was frustrated watching the whole thing because it felt like they were avoiding actual zombie attacks for a good portion of it. Like, there was some stuff, but there was just so much weird, awkward, poorly acted conversation going on. Like, I don't know. I just felt like everything was built around their small budget and their inability to, I don't know, like, have a lot of special effects and a lot of, you know, makeup and stuff that are big parts of zombie movies. But this was, like, really shocking for its time, which was strange for me to think about.
I think this was the defining zombie movie of its time. So comparing it retroactively to movies that have been made since it, kind of unfair.
Right.
Yeah, it pretty much started it all.
If you look at the effects in order of from movie to movie, they definitely improve every time.
I would disagree.
Well,
I don't know.
They kind of the last two kind of suffer from having no budget, whereas Land had a huge budget, I think.
Yeah.
And so I'll give you,
yeah.
But the effects in Diary and Survival are definitely passable. But these first couple of movies, I mean, the effects are pretty shitty. The first one, they're almost non-existent at all. I mean, it's some make a face. You know.
It wasn't really until the third one where you could tell they actually had some budget for makeup and graphics and design and that kind of stuff.
I felt there was a great shift in the look of the zombies and the attention to detail with the zombies. Whereas in Night of the Living Dead, it's black and white, so you can't really tell like what color they are. But they look kind of, you know, pale a little bit, and there'll be like a little bit of a gash every now and then. But for the most part, they're just really slow walking people. And that's how you differentiate a zombie from a non-zombie.
Yeah, they're supposed to be reanimated corpses. I think I've heard interviews with George Romero saying he didn't necessarily think he was making a zombie movie. Like, in his mind, zombies were something else. Like, when a person gets infected and starts going crazy, that's a zombie. And he thought he was actually making something new, The Living Dead, you know, as in the dead rise and are now alive and coming at you. But it kind of all comes together because they're all essentially the same thing. But back to the racial tension aspect of this, that's definitely something you can read into this film. But I think I've heard that the character of Ben, the black man, was actually a last-minute replacement. It was actually originally a white actor who had to drop out last minute. And this was a friend of the director's, I think.
You know how much that makes perfect sense? It's almost remarkable to me because I've learned that I don't really like George A. Romero. I don't think he's a good director after watching these movies. And it makes total sense that the only crap that I got out of this movie is racial tension, and it was totally by accident.
I probably should do more research on that. I'm not 100% sure I've heard that, but I know I've heard it. I just don't know how true it is.
Yeah, it seems so funny that he would stumble on what I thought was good about this movie.
That's also interesting to me because Ben was the only character that was acted very well at all. I felt like in this movie, everybody else felt so fake, but he was the only one that kind of held it together for the most part for me.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, except the parts where Barbara's freaking out on him and like saying, "We have to go find my brother," and she like grabs him and scratches him, and he just turns and looks at her, then just smacks her in the face out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if that's a kind of, you know, a representation of what 1968, you know, dynamics were, but for that to be in this movie probably was why it was so controversial, to show a black man hitting a white woman.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was a kind of a peak, critical peak at 68, too. It's kind of like right there at the cusp of the civil, you know, I don't know. It just seems like that's still definitely some serious tension.
I think with this one, as opposed to the rest, actually might not necessarily have had any kind of social commentary in mind. But it seems like with every new installment, he tries to up the ante with some kind of social commentary. And we'll probably get into that with each individual movie. But I think this one, he was just setting out to make, you know, a cheap horror film, you know?
Hmm. Well, it's more of a thriller than a horror. I don't ever really feel scared, but given what he had to work with, he does build some tension with, oh my God, the zombies are going to get in, are they going to break in? Mm-hmm. But it, I think you're right. I think maybe he accidentally stumbled onto this movie and it looked like this big statement on racial issues. And so he kind of got in his head that maybe he was a good director and his niche was going to be horror movies that had social commentary. And so from then on, he kind of tries to inject it into his movies. And I think it pretty much just progressively gets worse as we go down the line.
I think there's definitely a bell curve.
It was,
I don't know, we probably could pinpoint it somewhere between Day and Land where it kind of starts to go places that it might be contrived.
I totally agree with that, and absolutely.
But that's not to say that the racial issue here has kind of latched onto the film. So it's become part of the the mythology of the film, and I think Romero may have just latched onto that and rolled with it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think too, because it just it seems remarkable the way these movies go that he was really that sharp.
One thing I think is really silly after saying this for a second time is, and it's all through Dawn as well, when people are being like attacked by zombies, being grabbed out through windows, they don't make any noise. They just kind of have a look of panic on their face, but they're not screaming, they're not shouting for help. It's just like, I don't know, it just felt so unnatural. I mean, it's worse in Dawn, like all the scenes where zombies are pulling people around. They're just writhing on the ground and they're not making any sound. Like, really? You wouldn't be screaming for help?
Yeah. Or you would just be a damsel in distress for an entire movie and just sit around stressed out and do nothing.
That was just insane. Like, seriously? You're just gonna sit there silent?
Yeah. You're gonna be pouty.
So annoying.
Yeah.
Like, she was just so annoying. I couldn't even believe that people like wanted to watch that. People loved those characters. I had such a hard time with her character. I felt like fast forwarding the movie through some of the long like speaking sequences.
Yeah.
Like their talk about their family and what they were doing when the zombies first started attacking. I was just like, I can't take very much more of this.
Yeah. I thought in those parts especially, there was some kind of interesting editing. Like it would have a shot on Barbara talking, telling her story, and then it would randomly just kind of cut to Ben, like looking around the house for nails or you know, ammunition or doing things, and always has a look of like exasperation on his face, like he's just as sick of listening to this woman as we are.
Well, it was just really frustrating that she was doing nothing to rectify the situation. I mean, you're in a house in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by zombies, and you're just going to be super emotional about your brother that's dead, like you're going to be dead soon if you're not going to do something about it. I don't know. From my understanding, it doesn't really work like that, but...
No.
Well, I think that was their way of trying to communicate, like, how would you know what you would do, you know? Like they're communicating to the viewer, this is so horrifying, it can completely put you in a state of shock. And I think that's like a way of them trying to get you to feel fear from the things that you're seeing instead of just the shock, but to put yourself in the shoes. I don't know. It just wasn't effective to me though. Like I think that's like kind of what they were going for is like, oh, you have no idea what could happen to you if this was going on around you. You don't know how it would affect you, but I don't know.
I just thought it was bad writing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I just thought it was bad writing. I didn't feel anything except frustration for the character. I felt like I was being screwed out of an entire role here.
One thing that I did find interesting and pretty good about the movie is I was expecting it to cut away more often when zombies were eating people. But it seems like, especially in the first ones, well, I guess all of them, when zombies attack, it like they worked on you being able to see the attack. Well, I guess maybe that started even more with Dawn. But like, I think that's a really big part of it, is not just like use your imagination, but like this is what it's going to look like if you have your intestines pulled out of your body, you know?
Sure.
And somebody's gnawing on them.
Yeah, I think this would be great for like a late night drive-in kind of movie. I mean, this is one I'm not really opposed to coming back again and again, just because it's got that classic kind of campy value for me anyway.
Yeah, I think it being shot in black and white was nice. It was a complete different feel than all of the other ones for sure. Up until now, I thought that maybe Romero had something of genius, but now I pretty much believe that he stumbled across the theme of this movie on accident. But all in all, it felt like the genre was fresh. Maybe it was just me seeing this movie and it was the first one that I watched, that the zombies were fresh in my mind and I wasn't bored to death with them yet. But I don't know. I think this one definitely held up to being one that I might actually watch again, whereas I can't say that about just about any of the others. I mean, there might be one or two of the other in the series that I might watch again, but I think this one's probably the most likely.
I'm not even sure. I don't know. I don't know if I don't know. I think in general I don't like zombie movies. And so I'm not sure if I could watch any of these again.
I'm talking about
it was my first time watching any of them,
replay.
And I think that was just about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much a fan of this kind of horror, like the 60s, really campy, low-budget stuff like that. So I'm already kind of predisposed to enjoy this kind of thing, even though it's got such elements of low quality, mm-hmm. like terrible script, terrible acting, you know, terrible production values. But I love it. It's something that, like on Halloween, I would just throw in the background while I'm passing out candy.
Yeah, for sure. This is but it kind of feels like a spooky movie. There's actually tension. You think that the zombies might get into the house at any time. You kind of get past the crappy effects from the very beginning of the movie. Yeah. Like, oh, Jesus, this is going to be that kind of a movie. From the opening scene when that first zombie rolls through the graveyard. But,
and I think it's especially tense when they're going out for the car and fill it up with gas, and the gas gets all over the car, and they take off, and there's that kind of, you know, cutting back and forth, get out of the car, and you know, then it finally bursts into flames. That was kind of unexpected to me.
I mean, that was half their budget, I'm sure.
Probably, yeah.
You know what was unexpected to me was that the zombie caught up and got to the farmhouse, or got to wherever she was going.
They seem like two distinctly separate locations, which is ridiculous to me, but that's obviously how they shot it. I bet that cemetery is nowhere close to that actual farmhouse. I definitely don't feel like they were shot near each other, just from the, you know, the grass and the trees. You go from kind of like this hilly, I feel like it was hilly and green and lush, would be green and lush, like, cemetery to this middle of nowhere farmhouse.
Yeah.
Dry and... Yeah,
it looks all dry and dusty. It doesn't look lush at all. It just, I don't know, maybe I just can't remember it well enough.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there was also inconsistency in, like, how smart the zombies were. Like, he picks up a rock and tries to break the window and get into the car. But then later, they're just kind of thumping on the house. Like, all the zombies are just, like, not breaking windows when they first get there and the windows aren't boarded up yet. Mm-hmm. I was bothered by that. I was like, well, if some zombies can figure it out, like pick up rocks, use tools and stuff.
Well, as we see later on in the series, some zombies are smarter than others.
Yeah, that's true.
He does explore that a little bit further.
Yeah, it seems almost like some of the newscast audio that you hear is explaining people's problems that they had with previous movies. Like trying to explain this world and this concept of the living dead, what they're capable of, why they move slowly, why they can use tools sometimes, just things that scientists are learning about the zombies. I guess that was pretty common throughout all the films, the use of media, TV and radio, to kind of broadcast and help the audience understand what is actually happening.
Yeah,
but it also seemed to be addressing possible critiques of the plot.
Possibly. The way I kind of look at it is it's a way to convey explanations of the zombies and what they are, where they came from, and just kind of, you know, pique the curiosity of the viewer. I don't necessarily think it was specifically addressing critiques of previous films. But one thing I thought, one thing that's consistent through all the films is we never actually know where or the why of the zombies. Like, why are they coming back, and what is it exactly? Is it a virus? Is it, you know, what is it?
Well, this one actually, I think, is one of the few that does, because wasn't it supposed to be something that came from a satellite or something that was on one of the planets? Like,
yeah, that was Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead's the only one that explored that. And
Why did I think that was Night? No, you're probably right.
Is it Night? Maybe it's Night, but I thought that it was in Dawn of the Dead. There was this theory put forth, you know, maybe it has something to do with radiation reactivating the brains.
Well, yeah, it's all speculation. It's all theory. There's never actually, we're never actually told how and why it's happening.
Right. Yeah.
But like in the synopsis of Night on IMDb, it says, yeah, the radiation from a fallen satellite might have caused the recently deceased to rise up from the grave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it is Night.
They talk about it, yeah. But
yeah,
it's never a line drawn between them.
They're always worried about getting to a radio or a TV news in all of these movies.
Because that's where the information is. All right, let's move on to Dawn. Let's start talking about that one.
Yeah, I think I've talked about that one enough.
This was nearly 10 years later. I think Dawn of the Dead was...
Yeah, it's 11 years.
10 years later. 1978, in color. Kind of opens on a police raid of a apartment complex that seems to be full of poor people and minorities. And it's really kind of disturbing to see these cops go in there and start massacring people, especially the one who just totally goes off half-cocked on like a racist killing spree. That was jarring to me, and I think it was definitely Romero trying to capitalize on that racial tension that spawned out of the first one.
Yeah, definitely. This is I guess not the first one, but he's definitely playing again and again on this idea of like the awfulness of humanity and the things that we'll stoop to, some of the darkness behind the human actions and human way of living.
Yep, true. I mean, especially with the overall motif of the dead kind of just popping into the routines they had while they were alive. Like when they talk about why are they coming here, why the mall? It's like, well, that's what they did when they're alive, so why wouldn't they do it when they're dead? I think
this is
like right after the advent of shopping malls. Like shopping malls, like mass indoor malls like that had only been around in America for a matter of years at this point.
It definitely felt like his theme in this movie to me was he was going to talk about consumerism and. But I don't know if I really derived a whole lot out of this movie.
Yeah, that one sentence was about as much as he had to say about it, I guess.
Right.
It was just like, and I think that he was just playing around. He was having fun with a cool setting, which is, I think, one of the recurring themes. Something that he does a lot is just like, oh, this is a cool idea for how a person could die, or oh, this is a cool place for where you could be attacked by zombies or be attacked by something. And so he plays on that idea. There's a lot of more almost humorous parts of this one where they turn on the music and there's zombies getting confused on escalators and stuff like that. I think he was just having fun with a setting that he had available to him.
Right. We can go into a mall which is completely self-contained. They can live there forever because it has everything that anyone would need, and they have guns, and we can do whatever we want. It seemed like he was just begging for a set in which he could have characters, exploit killing zombies in every possible way imaginable.
Yeah.
This movie also begins his weird fixation with motorcycles. Did anybody notice this but me? How camp? I don't know. The whole motorcycle riders cruising around in the mall, I just thought it was so damn stupid. And he brings it up in the movies too. I think it's Land that there's also another Romero motorcycle scene, and I just can't stand it.
Yeah, and I think the main motorcycle bandit in this one, I think, shows up in a cameo as a zombie in Land.
I'm not shocked.
Really?
There's quite a few cameos in Land, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But... Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's essentially the big appeal to this one is that the idea of being trapped in one location where you potentially have everything you need and you're safe, quote unquote safe and away from the virus and the onslaught of the zombies. So what do you do with that time? Like, do you just keep living? I mean, I guess that's kind of the big question this is asking. It's like when the world is ending, do you try to keep living or what do you do?
Oh, I think they react fine. I mean, you start – like women kind of do a slight bit more in this one. It seems as the movies go on, women become more and more independent, and it's just in increments. And so in this one, we have a little bit less damsel in distress, but she still doesn't do a whole damn lot.
Yeah, and plus she's kind of put the role as den mother for the three guys. Like she has to cook and clean and – Yeah,
she's definitely still not a full individual. There's definitely gender roles applied, and will continue to be until second set, pretty much.
Although I wouldn't put it past Romero to kind of challenging that gender role, because I did think there were some scenes where she seemed kind of put out by the imposed gender role.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were some tensions that grew out of that.
Yeah,
definitely so.
I think a lot changed in the 10 years, but still definitely a caricature of a woman, I think.
Yeah.
I definitely think his writing is the weakest point of all of these movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
I would think so.
I still thought that this movie was pretty fun, though. I thought, like Clay said, I thought it was funnier. I definitely laughed a lot more, and there was definitely a little bit of more. There's more action, definitely, in this movie, and a little bit less suspense. Instead of just people trapped inside of a house the whole time, and you don't really see that many zombies getting blown up or killed or anything, this one definitely took it to the next level. Mm-hmm. I mean, you definitely see a lot more zombies. You definitely feel a lot more tension. They get closer. They still move slow, which is a kind of a Romero trademark. They're still just slow walking dead, just creeping along.
Yeah,
so they're not really that intimidating.
I was glad that he did that throughout the all of them, instead of going with the trends or anything. And he goes and tries to explain that a little bit in later ones, why he thinks zombies walk slow. But definitely the fact that they're not threatening as an individual, you can, you know, push one over pretty easily and stuff like that. Their numbers that makes them intimidating is something. I spent a lot of time thinking, like, is this actually a series? People could refer to it as the Dead series, but, you know, the settings are so different and the time periods are clearly different. I was trying to figure out what things actually tie all of these movies together. And that's one thing that I'm glad is consistent between all of them is a slow, slow zombie that has to have a bunch of buddies.
And god-awful soundtracks. Every one of these movies had the worst music I've ever heard in my life, and I think it's particularly bad starting in Dawn. It's like some asshole invented a synthesizer that no one would ever use ever for anything except knowing somebody, and then they decided to compose the entire soundtrack out of it.
Do you notice that Dario Argento actually helped with the soundtrack on Dawn?
I noticed that. That is so weird. I saw that. What a weird connection. But yeah, I agree with Ryan. The music is bad. Even, you know, I couldn't get an original Night of the Living Dead. I had like a 30th anniversary one that had a new score written for it. Even that new score was really bad. Like, sounded like super MIDI or something. Just like canned sound.
That's what it is.
On like a children's keyboard or something. I don't know. It was like all of them. Were really bad.
It was a Fisher-Price soundtrack, for sure.
Yeah.
I've heard my nephew play better shit.
I don't know, I kind of liked the mall music.
But that wasn't
that
like...
came up, I was like...
When that came up, I think that was a point where I was thinking, like, okay, all right, I like that he's letting it be playful and letting it be funny, but also... Did they really play that music in a mall in the 70s? Like, it didn't seem really that real. Why did the mall have that song?
The 70s were a strange decade, Clayton.
I think Romero misses the beat when it comes to music in just about all of his movies, though. Because in Diary, he has a soundtrack, even though it's supposed to be shot handheld. Like, obviously that doesn't make sense. But
so they address that in the intro.
Do they? Did I miss that?
You might have. There's just that voiceover in Diary saying, like, we added, you know, we cut it and we added some soundtrack because even though we're trying to show you the truth, we're trying to scare you too.
Do you remember that little intro? I don't remember that, so.
We'll get to that when we talk about Diary. But as far as Dawn goes, I forget what I was going to say.
Well, one thing that I did like with Dawn was the kind of tie-in to religion that they did. And you could say that Knight did it a little bit with the graveyard being the beginning of the film, but I liked his line when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth or whatever. And I just like things tying into religion, especially when you have beings that, you know, for all intents and purposes are pretty much like kind of resurrected, like brought back to the dead, like Lazarus style, walking around, but then they're evil. It's like that play on a concept that would be, you know, something positive, I guess, in a Christian standpoint, is something that I enjoyed from Dawn.
Yeah, and it's probably most explicit there. And that line is actually repeated by the same actor in the Zack Snyder remake of Dawn of the Dead, except he's a television televangelist.
Mm.
So it kind of furthers that same sentiment. especially because it's the same actor and the same line.
That's cool.
But it kind of made me wonder. I can't remember which film specifically gave me the idea, but like, what if this is actually, you know, the like, you know, second come, the apocalypse? Like, this is, you know, people being resurrected, and this is the form it comes back in. What if that was the form it would take place in?
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Zombie Jesus.
I've heard a lot of people make jokes about that, like, because I think because of a couple lines in like the Book of Revelation or something, that they're like, the zombie apocalypse is going to be the way that there's like a cleansing of the earth and all most humans are killed, but then the righteous will be left, but like mostly as a playful concept before. But he definitely plays on that a couple times, but I think it's mostly in Dawn, and then like maybe a little bit of peeks at it in Day.
Yeah, I don't know. This is one I've seen like twice now, and it's not one I really feel like I need to return to. I mean, it's fun if it's on, but I don't know. It doesn't have as much replay value as Night.
It definitely doesn't have that. I mean, it's more playful, and it definitely took the genre to kind of closer to where it is today.
Yeah.
I think. But I don't think it has that much replay value. But I was welcome after sitting through Night. I kind of needed a change of pace.
I was glad that they stepped up the look of the zombies, and this one's just gruesome. It's the first one that's like really, really gruesome, like gory, like intestines, like every 15 minutes or so, you got to see someone's guts. And I think that's something that like started, like creeped into the genre as a whole, but everybody as a result of this movie is just, oh, yeah, they want to see a ton of blood and a ton of gore, and that's what we got
to
get in these movies.
Yeah, and you have to see someone get totally ripped apart by the zombies. And
oh, yeah.
It's got that really super bright neon red 70s gore blood.
How do you classify this? Because are we going to classify this as a horror/thriller movie?
Well, so what would you call a horror then, if this is not, like, how do you define horror?
This is, because it's not scary at all, but I'll call it a thriller because it does build a little suspense at some points.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make that clear because I think that we kind of lose that on one of the movies coming up. But
yeah.
I think that this one, you actually feel like, oh shit, what if the zombies do get inside? Like, they're totally screwed. But at the same time, we kind of push the zombies aside for a while. I mean, obviously, the ending, they get in you, but I feel like it still kind of counts as a thriller.
Yeah, I mean, genres and how to classify movies, it's always so difficult because it kind of comes after the movie is out there. You know, you put it into a genre.
Right.
Like, I don't think most movies aren't created to fit in the genre.
Right, but this isn't really a good drama, you know? It's not a good drama. It's not well acted. It's not well written.
I guess I'd probably put it under thriller.
The score's not that good.
Well, and the
so
way
what,
I think about
it, what is it about this fucking movie that people actually like it so much? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is it was it because of the first gory kind of zombie movie?
I think it did kind of, you know, again, he found a way to kind of change people's ideas of what a zombie movie could be or what a thriller could be. And I would call this a thriller because I think it's mostly about, you know, the jumps, you know, oh, there's the zombie, oh my gosh, you know, and then, you know, things like, oh my gosh, there's a bunch of guts, and it's those short little moments. That's the way I think of, like, a thriller, like, oh, you get a thrill of, not really excitement, but just kind of like a flutter, like, oh my gosh, that just happened. And that's the way I think of a thriller, but I'm so rarely ever actually scared in a movie. I have a hard time differentiating the difference between a thriller and a horror movie. Like, is it that a horror movie is creepier? I don't know. And then this one's more aimed toward people being like, oh, wow, and then, like, saying afterward, did you see when the head got pulled off and the blood splurred? Like, I don't know. I guess those are the only ways that I can think to differentiate those two genres.
I think horror are generally movies that kind of have lots of shocking gore, usually.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of how I would describe it. Some of them are about murderers, but just kind of scary situations that have shock and gore.
Yeah, I think any movie that sets out to try and scare its audience could be put under horror.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the way I thought of it. It's more of a blanket term, just like any scary movie is a horror movie, is the way that I've always thought of it. But
yeah, so I think it could qualify under that, too. I mean, IMDb has it listed as action, horror, thriller. So three genres there.
Yeah.
It definitely has a lot of action aspects, where they're just going around, like, getting in fights with zombies. They go, those scenes kind of bothered me, too, where they're just like, woohoo! There's, like, an excess of cowboy noises going on.
Yeah, for sure.
But for me, I think that's why the Romero-style zombies, the slow walkers, are a little more scary, because you have time to think about it, and you actually think you can get confident and get past them into certain areas. Whereas, like, the fast ones are coming right at you, so you just kick your adrenaline in and just take off. You have no time to think.
I can see the distinction. I think that both zombies are better in different situations. I'm glad that he stuck to his guns, but I think some other zombie movies are better than his that have fast zombies.
Yeah, like 28 Days Later is an example.
28 Days Later is like my favorite zombie movie. And Shaun of the Dead, it kind of has the George Romero and it kind of has both.
Well, would you call 28 Days Later a zombie movie? Like I am one that kind of makes a little bit of a distinction between an infection that turns people crazy and they start murdering people, and then that's kind of more cannibalism than a zombie attack, than something was dead and then it comes back to life.
I think they die when they get bit and then they come back to life.
Yeah. In 28 Days Later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like fast zombies, you know, are usually like that. Mm-hmm. It's usually the same thing. You get bit, you die, and then you come back reanimated as Jesus.
And that kind of goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of Night, and how the infection style zombie is actually more in line with the definition of what a zombie is, whereas, you know, just the dead coming back to life was something Romero thought he was inventing. But it all got lumped together.
Yeah. I found, you know, I'm just going to voice a little frustration. I was confused. Was it different from movie to movie whether you have to die completely before you turn into a zombie, or whether just a bite can turn you into a zombie?
A bite is all that requires for you to eventually die, it seems like. And then you
I guess you're going to die if you get bit, but then some movies, no matter how you died, you would become a zombie. It's just like there was a point in time that everyone that died turns into a zombie.
Yeah,
some movies you have to be attacked by a zombie to be a zombie.
You have to be bitten or previously a zombie to be a zombie in his movies.
Really? Because I don't think that's the case. They talked about it at the beginning of Survival.
Usually people that don't become zombies get eaten.
Okay. I was always trying to get a handle on that.
There might be some inconsistencies.
I didn't think so.
Because for some reason, I'm thinking more often than not it was you had to be bit.
Mm-hmm.
To become a zombie.
Because if you think about it, toward the beginning of Survival, there was the kid that got hit by a car, and then his sister went to go. Fell off his bike.
They were telling the Irish guy that he got hit by a car, so they knew so that he wouldn't come over and kill the kid.
Really? Because he came over already knowing the story of the car crash. I had a feeling that was a true story.
No, it was a lie to be like, our kid's hurt, that's why he's not out and about, because he got hit by a car, and he's like, let me see the kid, because they were hiding that they were actually zombies.
Mm.
You know, it was their lie to cover up why they couldn't come out.
And then at the beginning of Survival that were like, every person that dies will become a zombie and kill another person.
We'll get to Survival in a little bit, but I'm
right. Yeah, we don't have to.
That's
talk
where
about.
Everything fell apart that he had going for him. So,
But
they said at Night too. Like the news reporter says that if someone dies, you need forget the burial. You need to put a bullet in the head.
Yeah,
because they're going to come back. So I don't think there was any consistencies with that, but I don't know that there necessarily should be. Because except for Diary and Survival, there's really nothing that ties all these movies together except that they're zombies. So the origin and the manner of the zombies could be different.
Yeah, but he goes with the slow walking, though. You know, he tries to keep some continuity with what these zombies actually do and how they act.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if they become zombies, they're essentially the same, but how they become zombies might not necessarily be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess that's kind of a luxury provided that he never actually explains how they become zombies.
Yeah.
Or why. So let's keep on moving. Let's get to Day of the Dead. Unless you guys had some more to say about Dawn.
I didn't.
No, I think I'm done with Dawn. Day is when I feel like they kind of... I feel like the first two were pretty much the same to me. I like both for different reasons. And I didn't like Day really at all. Day had the best visual effects, I think, to date. But most of this movie, we don't even see zombies. It's not even a zombie movie, really. What you have are people in a bunker talking for, like, the first hour of this movie straight. You know, occasionally they go into that weird little chamber where they're storing zombies and they dissect a few. But there was no scary anything happening.
Yeah, that may be true. It got away from kind of thrillery aspect, and it was more dramatic. I may have actually liked this one more than the first two, because it was more about the way the personal dynamics are going to be affected if you have some crazy disaster going on. And I liked the scientist elements of this one and the way they're trying to describe more about what it is to be a zombie and what a zombie is.
Well,
I don't know. I see what you're saying about it building slowly, but I think that time was spent well. Unlike Night of the Living Dead, where I felt like they were trying to avoid action sequences, I didn't feel that way with this one. I just felt like they were trying to get some points across.
I didn't really care about any of the points, though, I think is the problem. Like... It's supposed to be this big, like, you're expecting an hour of dialogue to get you somewhere, and I really don't think it got anywhere. I was bored with it. I needed more, because they weren't really saying anything, like, oh, we're going to – what is the whole debate about? Should we just kill them all? We don't have enough ammunition for that. We need to figure out what's killing them. And so scientists and military argue about that for a fucking hour.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it. Well, go ahead, Isaac. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, it's a progression from Dawn in that they're actually trying to understand the zombies, and the scientist especially is trying to figure out a way to control them or extricate them or cultivate, you know, the world where they could actually get along in a sense, or at least live with them so they wouldn't have to kill them and they wouldn't attack the humans. Like Clayton, I had a lot more fun with this one than the previous two. Almost to the point where I might say this is the one I think I would be most likely to return to because I had so much fun watching. But the reason I had fun watching is because it's so over the top, more than any of them. Every single characterization, like 10 notches above where it should be. Like every single character is so shallow and single note that it creates this gigantic cheese factor that I just love. I just ate it up.
It made me want to blow my brains out.
It had opposite effects for Isaac and I.
Yeah, I seriously just could not stand. I didn't care at all. They were just too. There was no depth at all. I felt like it was just
make another zombie movie. For me, it was like, okay, this is a movie that's building upon itself, trying to give you some more understanding of the zombies, and builds more like a regular movie than the other ones, where it's just, okay, you've been attacked, okay. Kind of recoil, talk a little bit, and then you're attacked again, and it's like every 20 minutes or so, there's an attack that's almost identical to the other ones, people getting torn apart, and that just happens for the course of 2 hours, where I get more bored with that than a film that builds like this and has, like, real introduction, and here are some characters, and then it helps to, like, build the character of the zombie they're teaching things to. What did they call him? I don't remember what...
Well,
here's the problem. Yeah. He made two different movies that need to contain the same things. He needs to have good dialogue and good characters and have attacks from zombies to make a successful zombie movie. And
that movie's never been made. Well, I haven't seen one yet.
Right, but I don't think it lives up. When you watch a zombie movie, you expect a little bit more than just these caricatures arguing for an hour and nothing's really happening at all.
I think there was some action.
You're not really. You have like them going into that bunker where they're storing all the zombies and like taking some of them for dissection. That's pretty much all that happens for the first two acts is argument and zombie dissection.
Yelling
and arguing and that's it. That is the first two acts of this movie, and then the ending completely sucked.
I mean, which part of it? Just taking off in the helicopter or the whole climax of
it just ends. I don't know.
I felt like most of them were just kind of like, here we go, almost everybody dies, maybe everybody dies, and then it just ends.
Yeah. I don't know. I can understand
where you're coming from, because, it is, the action is few and far between for that first two acts, but then when the zombies get out, all kind of breaks loose. But for me, I don't know, because I think it was trying to do something different. I don't think it was trying to be an action thriller. I think it was trying to be more like of a psychological thriller and more like, if we start to see human elements in these zombies, then how can we justify like the mass slaughter of them? And I don't know that it was necessarily effective on that point, but I thought it was interesting that I was trying to go somewhere new.
I think he brings that same point up, and that's the entire purpose of survival too.
In a different aspect, but this is kind of the first place it did it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I just had so much fun watching this one because the characters aren't real. So of course I didn't care about them. So I mean, it was pretty much just, I don't know. It's like I didn't really care who lived and who died, except for like the general who's just like a total ass. Like when he got his, when he got ripped apart and he's yelling at the zombies, I hope you choke on it. I was just like, hell yes. This is so awesome. Yeah. So over the top. But I don't know. I've found that lately I've had a developing taste for really shitty horror films.
Good.
So this is definitely up there.
This is definitely up there. I think this is kind of when he gets exposed for just not being very good at making movies.
This is as far as like the craft of filmmaking goes. It's better than the previous two. I wouldn't say his writing's any better. If not, it might be a little worse. But I think he might have taken on the mantle of shitty B horror film director instead of trying to say I'm something important.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I think he accepted the kind of confines of his genre. The zombie movie is not really a place where you're effectively going to be able to make a lot of social commentary, and he may have kind of accepted that with this film and said, "Okay, well, let's have some other stuff. Let's have some fighting, and then some kind of like gratifying death at the end." And I think in the way of writing, the dialogue is maybe a little bit better, but really not much better. Like, still awful dialogue.
I thought it was worse, for sure. I thought it was definitely worse.
See, and I don't think it's worse, but I mean, there's a matter of opinion. I think, though, that the arc of the plot line was was closer to what you would expect from an actually quality film of, build, and then you have your climax where there is kind of like the height of what you've been waiting for this whole time, and then the resolution is either fulfilling or not, but it kind of does end that story. I think this was maybe the best of the other ones, where it just seems so hopeless with the other ones, where it's just like, okay, everybody died, and this was just kind of an episode, kind of flat plot line. This one kind of had an arc that for me I felt like was a little bit better.
Fair enough.
Yeah, this one probably had the most hopeful ending. I mean, as far as like the soundtrack over the end where they get to the island, like with night, everyone dies and the sheriff just keeps on and going on their hunt to kill everyone. Mm-hmm. And then in dawn, it just kind of trails off. Like they get in the helicopter and there's no real like idea of what's out there. They don't necessarily have a destination. They don't know if there actually is a destination they could go to. Whereas this one, it's like they land on the island and they all kind of breathe a sigh of relief. and it ends there. Whereas I thought maybe it would have been better at some zombies sort of running out of the woods there at them.
Well, yeah, that gets done in another movie.
But as far as strong female characters in them so far, this one probably had the strongest.
It finally catches up a little bit. Still not much. You still have the douchebag general guy.
But like I said, these are all just really one-note characterizations. Like the scientist was so, like, the worst of them all. Like, he was just this crazy, like, you know, I got these good ideas and we can do it. And just the mannerisms of talking that just you expect from, like, a mad scientist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just straight mad scientist character. That's all the thought that went into that character. He's the mad scientist. Then you have your two vile, awful human, like, henchmen guys. And they're all they are is vile and awful.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And that's how all the characters are.
Yeah, the most convincing actor here was the one playing Bub the zombie.
he learned something as a character, which none of the rest did.
Like, he actually had some emotional depth to him, where none of the other characters did.
Yeah, I guess this is when Romero starts thinking that zombies can actually learn stuff. Because he kind of continues with that in Land quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, way more in Land.
Way more, yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I understand why for some people that might be a tough hurdle to get over. That's probably why they stick with the first two and saying those two are the best.
I think they are. I just think he was just sort of just stuck to this genre. You know, I don't think he was good enough to make anything better than crappy B-movies.
Well, it's a possibility that by this point he was kind of like, I don't know, like wanted to extend his idea was that, oh, you know, two times I've kind of changed people's ideas of what's possible to do with a zombie movie. And then he had a third idea. Maybe I'll have a lot of social commentary and I'll have zombies that can develop and learn things and use tools more and remember more of their past lives even. And I think, you know, that was his third idea. You know, I'm going to change zombies again this way. And some people can follow it and enjoy that, and some people can't. And most people probably can't. Most people enjoy the first two the most. But I kind of followed it, and I was all right with it.
I don't think it has any worthwhile social commentary. I think they all sort of trail off.
Yeah.
You know, I think this one definitely... I think if there is any social commentary in there, he's trying to inject it because that's what, you know, his niche was supposed to be. But
I mean, because what it's commenting on is our treatment of zombies.
Hmm.
Like the whole point of this one was kind of give a human element to the zombies.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily translate into everyday life.
No. And you can't take caricatures seriously if you're going to be doing a social commentary that's this ridiculous.
Exactly. I mean, it's a cartoon, essentially.
Yeah, definitely.
But I like cartoons, so.
But what's weird, though, is it feels that it's the most out of place of all of them. I mean, I guess Land kind of is just as cartoony, but in a completely different way.
Yeah, and I'd say Land is probably the most out of place because it has probably the highest budget. It feels more like trying to be a mainstream Hollywood action flick than the rest of them. Whereas I think Dawn and Day have similar stylistic elements. But that's because they're probably the closest in time frame as far as his first year.
I feel like he definitely starts strong and then shows a little bit of promise and then trails off with the first three. Day is definitely not the worst of the movies by far. So I've been talking a lot of shit on it, but it's definitely not the worst.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get involved in the discussion, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/3filmegos, follow us on Twitter, @3filmegos, or email us at 3filmegos@gmail.com. You can also comment at 3filmegos.podomatic.com, where you can also donate and subscribe to the show. Music provided by 90s Television. You can hear more of their music on Facebook. On our next episode, Romero-thon Part 2. We've been the 3 Filmegos. Thanks for listening.
Man, I didn't really suspect you guys would think that the day was as good as it was.
Dude, I dug it. I thought it was rad. It
You actually dug it? I thought it was kind of a chore to watch that one, actually.
That's funny, because it reminded me in some ways, I think while we're done recording the episode, it reminded me in some ways of The Thing, where it was like infection of these monsters and these things.
Don't even put Day of the Dead in the same fucking sentence as The Thing.
Nah, dude, it had like similar overtones for me. It probably borrowed some things from The Thing.
The Thing was so much better, so much better than Day of the Dead.
That's true. No, I'm not.
The
saying
Thing
it
wouldn't
was.
Even shit Day of the Dead out.
No way, dude. I saw similarities, like these scientists trying to understand and do experiments on these monsters that they don't have any understanding of,
mm-hmm.
and then they're arguing about it and like getting in fights. And I think there were a lot of similarities, actually.
Well, The Thing was
Clinton,
good.
You're wrong.
I don't know.
No, okay,
I'm
because
to my guns.
Let's see, Day was put out in 86. The Thing was put out in 84. So they definitely both feel early 80s, mid 80s, stylistically. But as far as the characters go, there's no comparison.
Right. I wouldn't say that.
As far as the level of tension that's achieved, no comparison.
They're not even in the same fucking ballpark.
But
they
both have a similar 80s look. That's probably as far as I'd go.
Really? All right. Well, I'm not taking it back.
I didn't hear the first,
Wait,
first part of your
change,
argument.
Change
so,
your opinion.
Know.
You have lost.
Nope. Not doing it.
No, well, I guess it tonally. I mean, The Thing was definitely more successful as far as, you know, being a good movie. But tonally, yeah, there might have been some things you could compare.